JoeBucksFan.com presents Fozzy, the sports junkie.
You're into that.
Insight and insanity.
You silly man, hope I never get back in there. I will kick your
all from the mind of Ozzy the sports junkie.
Let's get this party started. How you feeling?
How it goes, Al, and you're listening to Ozzy the Sports Junkie right here on JoeBucksFan.com.
Where do you hear people asking the Sports Junkie back in the stately studios of the Sports Junkie Radio Network on the Joe Bucks Fan Podcast? Happy to be with you on a Sunday game day and get you ready for a Buccaneers-Saints matchup, which, well, could be more interesting and a little bit more competitive than one would think, as the Saints did lose last week to Atlanta, arguably having a worse season than our Buccaneers. Buccaneers last week with a big win over the Cardinals, an entertaining, if anything else, game. I mean, even Jameis called it an ugly ball game. I was there, saw it with my own eyes. I'll give you my takeaways on how my day went. An unbelievable experience for myself and the little junkie, my daughter. Great time was had. Boy, it really makes a difference when you got good seats. Sat in the club level. You know, it sucks when your team is not competing for a playoff spot, having some problems with, you know, on the field problems as far as, well, getting wins, let's face it. But it sure as hell clears up the seating. And you can get deals like I got last weekend, an unbelievable. I mean, easily a $300 ticket for $50, so a pair of them and a lot of room. It just really made me, it really brought home, A, how gorgeous that stadium is. I've not been in the club level since the redo. I've been there for a few non-game events, but not a game day experience. And I'm telling you right now, people, that is an A-class stadium. The work that they've done, and the Glazers picked up the tab on most of it, the renovations of Inside Ray J. I'm sure somebody's got a paperwork somewhere they're going to shoot me down with. You don't know what you're talking about. It was 98% tax dollars, yada, yada, yada. I don't care. I think I read somewhere the Glazers paid over 60% of the renovations at Ray J, which enabled them to get next year's Super Bowl. Let's not argue politics. We got enough problems with this quarterback, the defensive back, our offensive coordinator, who finally woke up on Sunday and said, "Coach, let's start Rojo at running back." Now, he didn't have the big gaudy numbers. He had a touchdown. I heard a couple people say he had a horrible game. He didn't have a horrible game. One of these Sundays, he's going to break out. Every play, it seems like he's just about to pop one. Peyton Barber late in the game. I'm up there bitching up a storm. Why isn't Rojo in the game? All the way until Peyton Barber took it to the end zone for the score. So I'll just keep on shutting my mouth. So what do I know, right? I know this. Bucks improve on last week's win against, I'll tell you what, it's been a long time since I've been more impressed with a first-year quarterback, and that leads to an argument itself, but we'll get to that secondary point after this. A, it shows why I'm not a scout or a talent evaluator picking kids out of college, because A, I thought Deshaun Watson, the championship game against Alabama, I thought, great game, great kid, great college quarterback. There's no way that translates into an NFL quarterback. I said the same about Lamar Jackson. I said the same about little Murray from the Cardinals last year when the first video I saw of him was a midseason shot where it said, "This video is not sped up," because you, for all the life of you, would swear to God it was a fake clip. How fast that kid was running in a play last season. Not only does he win, and Kyler Murray, a more impressive first-year quarterback. It's been a while since I've seen one. He's got the quick feet in the pocket, and I don't want to hear anything about his arm. He's got a laser whip for an arm. He looked like, if it's possible, a faster version of Michael Vick, if that's possible. 5'10", 207. You know, a lot of people looking at Jalen Hurts saying, 6'1", 220. What are we going to do with him? He's not going to translate. This kid's getting it done at 5'10", 207. He went for Murray on the day last Sunday. He went for 324, three touchdowns and a pick. He also led the Cardinals in rushing last Sunday as well with a 38-yard performance, a 32-yarder. How about the fake punt, triple reverse flea flicker? I said to the little junkie, bark that one down. Take a picture of it. Remember it, because the next time you say a fake punt, triple reverse flea flicker, it's hard to even say. But the Bucks get it done. Good to see O.J. Howard made an appearance. Almost laughable that you start to think, well, and as the people are sitting around me, very comfortably sitting around me, I may add. No pushing and shoving at the, the section was pretty full, but not anywhere near capacity. And I'll tell you, in the shade the entire game, oh my God, I had feet up on the chair in front of me. If I could have stayed there all night, I would have. And for the life of me, I thought their new policy was they were going to stay, keep the club level open for the 4 o'clock games, but they didn't. I guess the private suites do, but it costs like $75,000 a game. So I guess I'll just either watch them on my phone or stay home or just go to Chili's afterwards down Dale Mabry. Another big mistake. I don't know what I'm thinking, Joe Buck fans. Having gone to games since the early 80s and coming from the south of the stadium and south of Tampa and Sarasota, I never, for the life of me, would ever take Dale Mabry. Dale Mabry is, now it's like 8 lanes of complete commercial gridlock nonsense nightmare, and all the lots, if you're not a season ticket holder now, are off in the swamp somewhere, and they're $40 a car, and you walk in about 4 feet of grass, mucky water, and for $40 a car, let's see, that's about, what, $200,000 per game they're making on each lot? Get a goddamn lawnmower. What would be wrong with getting the grass under about a foot and a half? I got snakes and shit. I saw a monkey swing by on a vine one time. So, as I'm driving up, I thought, you know, oh shit, I'm not screwed down, man. I'm going in Himes. I'm going old school, retro, as I'm recollecting my past game day experience to my daughter. And a more pleasant experience, I can't recall. I found a 5, not 50, not 40, not 10, a $5 lot less than a block from the stadium. No pushing, no shoving. Big props and a big thanks to my boy Leo Haggerty. What a freaking job Leo does. I get a text. I'm kind of sweating it out because I'm usually pretty good at the art of the ticket deal on the street. I'm not paying full price for anything. Never have, never will. So I got a call from one Leo Haggerty on the way up. Said, hey, Oz, you still got a game day? I go, yeah, what's up? I got 2. I said, I need 2. He goes, what do you got? I said, I got $100. Well, that was short 10 for gas. I had 90. So he goes, let me call you back. Leo calls me back. Done deal. I'll meet you outside the media entrance. So we troll through the lot, pick up our tickets, and there's nothing better than the velvet ropes just keep on opening. We go up a level. Followed right this way, sir. Right this way. Oh, you're a little higher? Oh, you're a little bit higher than that. Kept going and going. Short of the all-you-can-eat grub, it was 5-star all the freaking way. Aisle seats, not that, well, we had to fight over anybody to get out the aisle, but again, a more pleasurable experience, and it all tops up with a Bucks win. Actually, the little junkie's a closet Cardinal fan. Going back to the Cardinal Super Bowl appearance in Tampa, where the question was posed, why are there no Cardinal fans? It was very bizarre. I've never been to a Super Bowl where I didn't see a single fan from the other team. Not even one. And there was not even any merchandise for the Cardinals. So it led to a long, what about this, what about that, from my daughter, which we did more and more research. And I mean, I knew the Cardinals' history of being from Chicago, going to St. Louis, going to Arizona. I didn't know it was 87 years. 87 years the Cardinals were in existence before they had their own stadium. That's insanity. Complete insanity. And they're one of the founding members. They got in at the first decade of NFL football. So there's your Cardinal update for you. Well, a week late. But nonetheless, Saints came around in the late 60s. And I was kind of cracking on the Superdome. Obviously, tomorrow's game is at Ray J. But Superdome's 50 years old. 48. Early 70s, they opened that. I would imagine, and having been there last season, and it's checking out their luxury box, which was, no offense to the Superdome, it's a fine facility, and you can't top New Orleans when it comes to a football town, or a party town, I should say. It's the absolute perfect location. It has all your ingredients for a fan to come in from anywhere, and you can get any sin, any food, any music, any any perversion that you need, you got right there in Sin City. I like to call it Sin City Light. NFL now moving into Vegas. Well, you'll get your choice of sins. That's going to be crazy. If I'm an old timer, like remember Alex Karras, who was banned from the NFL for having connections with gamblers. Paul Horning had to sit out a year for having just knowing a gambler. Now here's the NFL putting a stadium smack dab on the strip. And guaranteed goddamn they'll have FanDuel outlets inside the stadium. I don't know if you'll be able to bet on that game. That seems a little much. But you can play on the actual game being played in front of you. I'd imagine they'll have FanDuel and stuff like that. Whether or not they'll have a sports book, I doubt that. I seriously don't doubt that. But so there's my 2 cents on last week's game. And imagine a little bit of bigger crowd today. The weather you can't beat with a stick. Let's hope the Bucs are feeling it. And let's hope Saints will feel a little bit of that sting of the Buccaneer defense. A Bucs defense, which giving up a league-high 31 points a game, leading the NFL in run defense. And I wonder if that's kind of by default. That you're not seeing a lot of teams even bother to run the ball. When every pass is a completion, why bother? I think that's what's happening. But say what you want about that Bucs defense. I'm liking the front three, the 3-4. I'm liking everybody I see going after the quarterback. They're not getting those gaudy numbers. Short of Shaq Barrett, he sure as hell is getting the gaudy numbers. But they're putting the quarterback on the ground. They're laying some lumber, the opposing quarterback, every week. Vita Vea looks better by the game. So that leads to the story, obviously, of the week for the Buccaneers. They cut another first-round pick. Whether or not it was deserved, I always liked Vern Hargraves. I thought he came on strong his first season. Injuries and lackluster play. I thought he looked dynamite the first two games of the season. Then he fell off the face of the earth. All you saw was the back of his jersey running 10 feet behind somebody. The last couple of games, I mean, he wasn't blatantly getting schooled. But Arian saw a play that I guess just pissed him off enough to say, we're going to make a statement here. I mean, obviously, he wasn't going to get a big contract from the Buccaneers. That's what he was looking for, was a big extension, a new deal for next year, but he won't get it now. The Texans sign him. They're on the hook for at least $1 million. And Jamal Dean will now step in and start, and we'll see what he can do. The Jason Light could come out smelling like a rose. I'm telling you, people, he might come across as a drafting bust, but as the weeks go by, all these players that we've been crucifying, short of number three, and the kicker situation is in my eyes is a done deal. It's a that situation's over. Obviously, Gay is the kid moving forward. But nonetheless, that's a stench that's going to remain on his resume. It'll take a while to air that thing out. But the Vita Veas, the Rojos that are starting to come along now, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, you could say the best two receivers in football are on his watch. Devin White impresses me more game by game as well. He really looked good in person last Sunday as well. Speed for days. So speed kills, and especially the linebacker position. So quickly, the Bucs get a win. And the season's only half over, people. 30-27, the final, in front of the smallest home crowd. 23 years, I think it was. It's kind of sad, but if you're looking for a good deal, they were to be found, I'll tell you right now. Oddly enough, a lot of Cardinal fans in attendance hung out with some families after the game and then went and talked with one Mike Evans, who not only Mr. Everything on the field, literally was outside for over an hour, chatting it up, taking pictures, signing autographs. Mike Evans, I've been saying it on my daily show, which you go to odysseysportsjunkie.com and check it out. New server. If you go there and it's down, just keep going there because it's a little tricky. I don't know anything about that. My producer, Pete, currently in a state of, detention. But he's in charge of all that. I can barely tie my shoes. I'll take another beer, please. Ozzy, the sports check of the Joe Bucks Fan Podcast. Can I get another Coldy? That one was rudely interrupted. Later in the show, perhaps some Gopher Greg trivia. A bad day for Greg. His Gophers, after beating Penn State last week, well, let's just say we're hiding all sharp objects from the Gopher this afternoon as the inevitable happened in Iowa yesterday. Hide the other one. You can put it down. Put it down. So the biggest run in Gopher history comes to a close. At any rate, hey, we got our own problems. And one of them is Drew Brees. This guy's made a career out of slice, dicing, and julienning the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, well, for going on 20 years now, at least 10 in a bucket in a Saints uniform. I can remember a couple of games as a Charger, he even lit him up. Bucs will come in as 3-6. Like I mentioned, run defense is not the issue. It's through the air where they hurt, and they hurt bad, 31 points a game, which led that and the slack jaw play of Vern Hargraves. He's gone. So it'll be up to safety Mike Edwards, Sean Murphy Bunting, who doesn't even look Irish, and Jamal Dean. Dean's a real standout. He's really showed up strong. He's a second-year player. And Jordan Whitehead. Jordan Whitehead, another guy, heavy hitter. You see him out there laying the lumber. Well, apparently Drew Brees is, well, he hasn't watched as much game film. He's quoted saying, they're young, but they're very talented. Says the 40-year-old quarterback. He says, quote, they're young. All right. They're young and they're very talented. Look at the investment they've made in their secondary over the last 3 years with draft picks. All right. Try to contain yourself there, Breeze. I think they went a little heavy on the medication last surgery. Defensively, we're still a work in progress, says Arians. You think all those kids in the secondary are going to get better and better? Well, you'd like to hope so. Jameis with two picks and a fumble. Yet, a nice pass to some nice throws. He had some nice throws. Had some bonehead throws, some bizarre throws. Had a little throw out of the flat. I don't know what happened there. If it was a wrong route, he should have called an audible because the receiver was lined up on the right side of him and he threw it to the left. But what do I know? I've been told to just keep your head down and keep walking when it comes to quarterback talk. So I guess I'll just see what happens. Bucko Bruce promises he won't pull any punches come season's end when it comes to sit down with the Glazers. I think it's a rather telling move that Vern Hargraves was moved. It means that Jason Light and Arians, whoever the hell's in charge, they're not going to be afraid due to a guy's draft position. It should not indicate his future with the team. And that's the only way this thing's going to get turned around. There's some building blocks there. There's some quality players on this team. Again, not to sound like a broken record. In years gone by, the Buccaneers, we knew going into the season they were garbage. Well, that's not the case anymore. They're one of the highest paid teams in the league. They're always delving into free agency. They brought out the best coach available in Arians and company. So there's no more excuses like that. I've got a great, great piece I'm going to get to as soon as we get through a look into today's game. As Jameis goes, so the Bucs don't go, perhaps. And I'll tell you what that means in a second. Good news, though. Here's my angle on this game. That's why I think the Bucs are actually going to, well, they're going to hang tough in this game. And, well, if you saw on Twitter, I called yesterday for a shocker. I'll go for the shocker, baby. Two in the pit. Never mind. I'll go for the shocker upset today. And here's a big reason that leads me to believe that. Mike Evans, who was held without a catch, you'll remember, in the Saints-Bucs game earlier this season. Marshawn Lattimore left last week's game with a pulled hammy. And they'll move P.J. Williams to corner. Rookie C.J. Gardner-Johnson into Williams' usual nickel spot. So the backfield will be shaken up for the Saints. And it'll leave Mike Evans without Lattimore on him. We're seeing Evans. Well, he's playing at maybe his best season ever. The adjustment that Evans does on a lot of these passes is just remarkable. And he's having, in my eyes, a season. He'll be up there in the MVP voting. As crazy as that sounds for a team 3-6. How about Chris Godwin? He made an unbelievable adjustment on a ball. Then he took it 50 yards, his longest catch of the season. Oddly enough, in that ball game, the Bucs trailed early and trailed late, yet won the game. Generally, it's the other way around with them. They get off to a hot start, and then the roof falls in. Kind of like the show today. What do you say, huh?
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed it, too, my friend. Other news and notes going into this ball game: starting left tackle Anders Pete, a 2018 Pro Bowler and a first-round pick in 2015, broke his arm during that Atlanta loss. He gone. He could come back the regular season. Will Clapp. I said, Will Clapp. My second-year pro at LSU. He was first off the bench, and he will. Clapp came off the bench last Sunday, and, well, not a lot of clapping was going on other than Drew Brees' ass clapping on the Superdome floor as Brees was sacked six times. We'll see if Will Clapp. If you had a cousin or anything, we'll call. Thank you. Now you will clap after he comes on the field, right? So there we go. I'd imagine you're going to see a lot of Mike Evans, and the Bucs will try to establish the run, which leads me to my the topic du jour for your game day experience. And, oh, by the way, Ozzy the Sports Junkie, I'm Joe Bucs fan. Coming in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be down live pregame at Buffalo Wild Wings on University Parkway in Sarasota. I'll get you the date, and I will promote the hell out of it. And I'll go ahead and say I'll have a former Buccaneer player in tow. So you can come out, hang out with me if you're in the Sarasota area. Go to any Buffalo Wild Wings. They're great anywhere you go. But the university location in Sarasota, you can come see me and hang out with a former Buccaneer to be named later. To be named later. And no, it's not Kyle Brinza. He does not. He does work in the kitchen there, I hear. He's a fine employee, but he couldn't get the day off in order to come out. He could not get the day off, I guess, to come out and talk a little football. So, no, I joke. Fine kicker from Notre Dame. Remember Brinza with 70-yard pregame kicks? Nothing happening, Riggers. Absolutely nothing. All right, already with the... Those crickets lasted longer than Brinza's career. Those crickets lasted longer than Brinza's career. Thank you. All right, an interesting piece in the Tampa Bay Times by Tom Bassinger about the Bucs and Jameis Winston and how the Bucs go Jameis goes, but not so. According to these numbers, check this out. 60 games now into the current quarterback's era here in Tampa Bay. Are they any better than they were statistically, wins and losses, than before they drafted him in 2015? From 76 to 2014, they suffered more losses than any team, winning 38.5%. And that's pretty sad, but that was, you know, that's the truth of the matter. Since 2014, well, they've actually fared worse. They're 38.4%. So if looking to turn things around, that hasn't happened. And that will be on the, that will be for the state side in the Case versus People versus Winston, the state side. As the beers are flowing and the game isn't going to get going at 1 o'clock. Oh, speaking of which, if I could take a sidebar, Your Honor. December 21st is a Saturday. That is the flex game. And that will be when the Texans, oh, and Vern Hargrave will come calling to Ray J. That was a flex game. You know, when the season started, I thought, oh, cool, they're going to flex that bad boy to like a 4 o'clock, maybe a late Sunday game, get your thick coat out and head up there, maybe a nice chilly evening. No, it'll be a draft pick Saturday, but a fun time nonetheless. You know, it smacked me right across the face last Sunday at that stadium is, A, God, I want this team to get back on track because I love meet some Buccaneer football people. I wouldn't be doing this show if I didn't. I wouldn't be passionate about it. And I sure as hell wouldn't be up there watching my team, not only in Tampa. I'll go to a few road games every year. So, and now Johnny come lately, I'm talking since the early to mid 80s. I've seen some horrible football, and I've seen some great football. More horrible than good, but you take that, you know, I grew up in Chicago as a kid. I'm a Cubs fan, people, so I'm used to long, suffering misery. Remember that Cubs spelled backward is Buck. It is. No, seriously. Do the math on that, Pete. My assistant, Pete, does not think. Yeah, it is, isn't it? An absolute moron. All right, back to our story. The Bucs have actually fared worse, if that's possible, under the current quarterback's reign of terror. Of course, he's not the only thing, the problem. But he's part of the problem. He's thrown an NFL-high 14 interceptions this year alone. They're all costly. Last week, they managed to actually get a win despite the two. On average, he's reduced the Bucs' chance of winning by 10 points per game. So I believe that would be another point on the State versus Winston. That ain't good. So it's no surprise when he throws more picks than one in a game, the Bucs will lose that. Again, last Sunday being the exception. That game obviously was a bit of an anomaly. Arizona not only won the turnover battle, but scored first and then held a fourth quarter lead, as I mentioned. So it was very, very, very unlike what would be the pattern we've seen. We see the Bucs get off the hot starts, and then the ceiling caves in, and they shit the bed, and then everybody's pissed off for weeks. You kick your dog, and then you turn on a good game at four. There's another thing. I am so sick and tired of watching the Bucks game with your eye on the watch and thinking, come on, end this misery, because there's a good game at 4 o'clock. I really want to watch this good game. We should be the good game. We were the good game. God damn it, let's bring it back. The other thing I should say, I'll take out of last week's game that I saw, that kid Murray, don't give me any nonsense that a first-year quarterback can't make a difference. You put that guy on a winning team, or you bring in a guy like that, it doesn't make it a difference, man. It's a win-now league. It is a win-now league, and you've got some building blocks, and they're not all negative. It's not all gloom and doom on Himes and Dale Mabry. Stay away from Dale Mabry. I'm a Himes guy, baby. Himes root beer. Back to our story. So, what'll have to happen for the Bucks to beat the Saints? You ask. As long as you're asking that, how about we win the first back-to-back games all season? Wouldn't that be fun? We'll really celebrate Christmas. They'll be dancing on the streets of Dale Mabry and Himes. Free lap dances for 1 hour. Still $15 glass of soda. I never understood that one. $40 cover. We don't have booze. That's a whole other show. So, the obvious one, if Winston plays well, they win. Well, he has had way more bad games than good. And in the difference between good and bad has been pretty stark, as he points out in this article. He completes a higher percentage of passage, gains more yards per pass, throws a higher percentage of touchdowns, and commits fewer turnovers when they win. But listen to these numbers. And this, again, Your Honor, will have to go in the case of the state on this one, I'm afraid. In 24 starts that he's won, 39 touchdowns, 17 picks with 6,400 yards. 6,400 yards per pass average at a 96 quarterback rate. Interception rate of 2.1 then. Touchdown rate of 4.9 for all you stat geeks. Listen to these numbers though. Okay, 24 wins, 39 touchdowns, 6,400 yards. His 39 losses, he's got 63 touchdowns and 52 interceptions. In the 39 losses of number three's Hall of Fame career here in Tampa Bay that we're just so blessed to be a part of, his completion percentage is under 60 at 59.4. 10,000 yards. I keep hearing that. 10,000 yards. 10,000 yards. In 39 losses. Yards per pass, under 8. Wait a minute, he has 8. Oh, these are losses then. Yeah, I guess they're losses, yeah. Yeah, they're losses, all right. 63 touchdowns in their 39 losses. Wow, that's a pretty good number, 63. I'm being past this note now. 52 interceptions. An interception rate of almost 4%. But 4% of his passes are getting picked off for a very paltry quarterback rating of 80%. Okay, those are Winston's numbers. I guess the bottom line that Mr. Bassinger's getting at here is when Winston plays well, he's seldom the reason the Bucks win. If he plays well, he's seldom the reason the Bucks win. I talked earlier about the Bucks' tendency to lead early and blow games late. In 18 of his 24 wins, the Bucks led at halftime. 18 of 24 games, the Bucks led at halftime. Is anyone else just freaking out with these numbers? They led by at least a touchdown in 9 of those, by a field goal in at least 17. Oddly, they led at halftime 6 times this year alone and held on to win only half of those. From week 10 of 2016 through week 13 of the 18 season, the Buccaneers had won 11 straight games in which they led at halftime. Boy, those were the glory years, weren't they? God, I remember 2016 was that? God, was that the fun we had that season. Jesus. I'm sure you Buck fans have your 2016 championship pennant all over your house, don't you? Here's where we get to the gist of the story, if you're still with me. Have another beer. Get ready for game time. I think Gopher Greg's trivia may have been canceled. I'm not certain, but this article is going to take a lot longer than thought necessary. Where is my beer, Pete? Thank you. What's that? Gopher Greg standing by? Well, tell him to keep standing by. Hide that gun. Don't get anywhere near it. Gophers, the big loss yesterday. Oh, well. It's only been 114 seasons of losing. Actually, their last perfect season was 1893. And that for some reason, they scheduled a high school team the first game. I'm not sure what the hell that means. So, oh, Greg, no. Oh, Jesus. Thoughts and prayers to the... Oh, Jesus, he's got another one. Well, now you're definitely not doing the damn trivia. All right, back to our story. If this defense forces takeaways, that's the ticket to a Buck victory. You know, the greatest meltdown ever, Jim Mora, is when you turn the ball over four times, you're not going to beat anybody. He was talking about a young Peyton Manning. And don't give me the comparisons, please. Peyton Manning got better every year and then won a Super Bowl. And he might be the greatest quarterback, short of not named Brady. So don't say the comparisons. I don't want to hear any comparisons. Give me wins, give me losses. And give me less turnovers and more touchdowns. And more wins and less losses. Back to our case at hand. The defense forces takeaways. With the Winston as their starting quarterback, the Bucs are doomed when they don't force a takeaway. They're 2-12 in games where they don't get a turnover. 2-12. When they force a takeaway, 22-27. Still under 500, but take what you can get, Tampa Bay. As that record implies, one takeaway isn't often enough. And two can't be enough as well. All right, here's the numbers. This is very good. When the Buccaneers get a takeaway, they're 5-16. Just one takeaway, 5-16. Two takeaways, 5-10. Three turns out is the lucky number. When they get three takeaways, turnovers, whatever you want to call them, fumbles, interceptions, get the ball from the other freaking team, they're 12-1 with their lone eight of those 12 wins. He notes in this story were against below 500 teams, including a 2016 game when they did get three picks, got by Drew Brees and company, who's getting ready as we speak for today's ball game. And that turns to today's ball game. New Orleans, who rarely commits three turnovers a game. And in fact, the Saints haven't done so since 2017. And that, I believe, is the game in question against said Buccaneers. So, going back two seasons, they haven't committed two in any game this year. So, if the Bucs are going to win today, they're going to have to make their own luck. It indicates, well, you know, you got to run the ball. The reason the running ball will eat up clock, shorten the game, and limit the number of possessions for Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, Kamara, and the rest of that explosive Saints offense. If a team tries to shorten the game, it's just limiting opportunities for its opponent. It's limiting opportunities for itself. And, well, you can see that in case in point every week as we're usually trying to play catch-up and running out of time. There's no evidence that running the ball helps a defense. There's no relationship between the amount of time a defense rests and the effectiveness it's when it returns to the field. This guy's like rewriting a book here. So what he's trying to point out here, if the Buccaneers stick to the run, they're basically dooming themselves in a game against the Saints and pretty much anybody. Pretty much anybody with a tough run defense, and the Saints are one of those teams. Their pass defense is actually pretty good, too. But, like I mentioned, a key to the game, I think, is Marshon Lattimore not involved in the contest and not covering Mike Evans. I look for Evans to go off. Maybe keep it close. Very interesting stuff there. Take it with a grain of salt or take it however you want. I thought it's very telling as far as winning and losing into that. It's the turnovers that a defense gets that pretty much indicate whether the Bucs are in it or not. And it just goes to lead you to this. This is my takeaway from the whole thing, as I didn't mean to go on storytime theater on you there, but I thought it was a very interesting read. How about if we keep the turnovers and maybe won a game? How about one turnover game and still keep taking three back the other way, or at least two back? Win the turnover battle, you win the game. I think I read that one time. And defense wins championships. Pat, the run defense, looking stout. I don't know if that's by default because the other team isn't running the ball, because, quite honestly, they don't have to. When every receiver's open, it kind of opens up the playbook because you don't have to use half of the other half of the playbook. You can lay it on the bench. You boys take the day off. We're going to lob it long every freaking snap. All right, so those are very interesting numbers to kind of delve around. You can throw them around the sports bar or the stadium as you sit there with your buddies. And another thing I have to point out, because the tailgating up there, there's still people raging up there. There's still people rocking and rolling up there because we're going to turn this thing around. And they'll be raging at Ray J, and that'll be the spot to be. Sure, it's hotter than Hades for half the season. It's not hot today. It's beautiful out, and I guarantee, goddamn T, anywhere north of the Florida-Georgia border, people are wishing they were in sunny FLA. Sun or not, they'd rather be out of where they're at as we head into a holiday season. And how about a holiday win for our Bucks? Who knows? Crazier things have happened. New Orleans only got to cover 5 at a hook. Surprised that line didn't grow as the week went on, but, you know, the Saints coming off that rough loss against Atlanta at home of all things. Heavens to Betsy. Bucks could move to, well, 200-500 with a win. Take New Orleans down a peg. Carolina hanging tough with our new quarterback for next season. I mean, Cam Newton on the bench with a alleged bad foot. And Atlanta trolling the bottom. Rough year for Dirk Cutter. Looks like he'll have to move again. Keep your eyes peeled if you're at a local Goodwill in the Atlanta area for some coaches wear. All right, as I look at the clock growing closer and closer to toe meeting leather, I'm being told Greg has been on a... We will have to cancel today's... He left that message earlier today on my answer. He needs to just lay down and, just maybe a Bucks win today would cheer him up. Would cheer the hell out of me. As we're heading into, can you believe Thanksgiving around the corner? Time flies when you're losing every week, doesn't it? No. Time does fly as you get older, and you got to stop and appreciate the things in life. And I sure as hell did last week. And my bottom line, I'll leave on a very positive note. I saw some old school Buccaneer fans there last week. It reminded me why I love this team. And while I'll always support this team, and I'll always be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer because from Florida who live here. Everyone's from somewhere else, and we all fell into this mixing bowl. Sure, we can be fickle at times. Try getting a seat to a Lightning game. You know, case in point. Rays, they'll get a stadium done. I have faith. And I also have faith more than anything. This Buccaneer team will turn this thing around, and we will walk tall again. And we will put our chest out, and we will be on Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football, primetime games, more 4 o'clock games. How about tomorrow? A 4 o'clock start with Joe Buck and Aikman in tow sound. Better yet, how about a Sunday Night tilt against that prick Drew Brees and company and douchebag Sean Payton? I don't have a problem with Brees. I got a big problem with Sean Payton because he's an asshole. You'll remember that fight in New Orleans. I was actually at that game. And then Drew Brees and company come in here. The Bucs won the last game of the season 2 years ago, and he's giving shit to Dirk Cutter at the handshake at the end of the game, and you can see Cutter kind of walking away like, what the hell was that all about? And he turned, and little Sean Payton just scurried off like a rat, saying, you know, I didn't forget about that sideline incident. It was like 8 games back. It's all been settled. You wait till the handshake, you're going to the playoffs, we're going home. Your note for the season is, hey, I didn't like what you did 6 weeks ago. It's a reason that guy was banned for a year. I mean, he's a decent football coach. He's won a Super Bowl, but I don't think he's the greatest guy in the world. So it wouldn't break my heart, and it won't break my heart. The Bucs shove it up their rear end. Drew Brees, I got a lot of respect for him. He's a freaking Hall of Famer, and he'll go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. And truth be told, boy, the league would just be salivating for a Brady Rodgers. I think Brady Brees more than anything. New Orleans, New England, forget about it. Super Bowl. So, Sean Payton, he comes across as a nice guy. I think he's a jerk off. Based on that alone and a few other incidences, but that was a topper for me. Poor Dirk Cutter sitting there. I mean, the guy was kind of a mild-mannered guy. And he just goes up, he says, good game, coach. Good luck in the playoffs. He goes, hey, I remember that midseason, and I don't like it. What? What are you talking about, dude? You could have addressed that pregame. You wait for the postgame handshake to bring up something that happened in week 5, 6. Dickhead move that was. All right. Hate to close on that negative note. Let's spin it on a positive. Go Bucks. Get a win. Pull to within 200-500. Crazier things have happened, people. Get that defense playing well. As I just read to you, Storytime Theater, we get turnovers, we win. So let's hope Number three doesn't turn over at critical times, because basically they're going to happen. Those are going to happen. We need to look around that for the remainder of this season. I'm not looking at anything into the future as far as that. We'll worry about the roster, how that looks heading into 2020. But as far as 2019 goes, yeah, give me the Bucks getting 5.5. Why not? I can't believe that line's not higher, but I'll take it. I'll take it all day long. Next week, Bucks head to Atlanta. Atlanta already favored by 3. The prognosticators, I don't know where we're getting that from. We'll go in there, beat their ass. How you like that? We'll be running smack. It's a very winnable game. And then Jacksonville afterwards. Shoot, you get a win. We'll be looking at maybe going 500 in Jacksonville. Hey, crazy things have happened. In the case of the defense of our quarterback, we should be just be cruising to the playoffs, people. We got the greatest quarterback in the history of the franchise leading the way, leading the way. I heard our general manager say, this offense is one of the best offenses in NFL history. So get your Super Bowl stuff. Make your arrangements to go down to Miami. What hotel are you staying in? All right, Ozzy the Sports Junkie. I'll see you in Miami. But first, let's get by the Saints today. I'll take our chances. I'll take the 5.5. And I'll take the Buccaneers, and I'll take Joe Bucks fan leading the way, leading the charge of Buccaneer information across the board. And I'll get you more information on my Buffalo Wild Wings appearance on University Parkway. I also want to mention the Parrot at Weber and Beneva right here in Sarasota, Florida. A beautiful outdoor bar. I'll be there Monday night for Monday Night Football festivities, where my own Howard Cosell, a.k.a. John DePalma. If you're anyone over the age of 40, I would have to say, to remember the greatness of Howard Cosell. This guy doesn't just look like and sound like. He transforms into, and it's worth the price of admission, and the price of admission is free. So you can come out, hang out with me, Monday Night Football, giveaways, get on air, rant, rave, throw stuff, dance on the tables naked, dance with Howard naked. Well, let's hope the Bucks dance all over Drew Brees' face and that prick Sean Payton. I'm Ozzy the Sports Junkie. This is Joe Bucks Fan. Thanks for listening. Go Bucks. And hopefully we're talking about a big victory heading into Atlanta next Sunday. Ozzy the Sports Junkie, only the Joe Bucks Fan podcast.